Hello, everyone, and welcome to Police Off the Cuff, Real Crime Stories. I'm your host, retired NYPD Sergeant Bill Cannon, 27-year veteran of the NYPD. We have a rather interesting story that, you know, not many people covered on in the YouTube family of content creators. But it's an interesting story because, as you hear sometimes, life imitates art or art imitates life. It could be either way in this case. But what we're covering is this $30 million heist in a Los Angeles building. The question is, was it an inside job? Did they circumvent the alarms? Was it lack security? I think we're going to see all of those things when we look into this case. But when you think about $30 million, is that the amount that was really there, or is that the insurance company amount? I'm a cop. I'm cynical, you know. Did they report way more than was actually stolen, or was that, can they account for $30 million? And the other thing is, when we look into this, and I never had in my whole police career any case that I worked on that involved a $30 million heist, nothing close to that, maybe a couple of hundred thousand, stuff like that. I never had anything approaching a million. So there's logistical problems when you have that amount of money. And apparently, according to the New York Daily News, $30 million can weigh up to 7,500 pounds. So how do you get 7,500 pounds of money out? Obviously, you need numerous people to accomplish that task, don't you? You also would need numerous vehicles, because I would think most criminals, they believe in cliches like I do. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. So they're not going to throw all this money into one truck. And then if that truck gets stopped or caught, the whole heist has been foiled, as they say. So we're going to do an examination on this case. We're going to look at it from a police perspective. And we're going to come to some conclusions, maybe, and maybe not. But we're going to shine a light on it. So folks, hang on to your hats, hang on to your seats. You're about to enter true crime from a police perspective. You're about to enter the off-the-cuff zone, the police off-the-cuff zone. There has to be some common sense.
Yes, sir. They have the car stopped in 10th and Grant's bike rider.
We still don't know who pulled the trigger. You know, because this is going to be such a fun show tonight, and covering this is, it's pretty fun because we all get to conjecture about what the hell happened here. So I couldn't just do this by myself. So I brought along retired NYPD sergeant, professor of criminal justice at Albertus Magnus College in Connecticut, attorney, and all around good guy. Welcome to the show, Professor Mike Geary. Mike, welcome.
Hey, Billy. Good evening. Thank you for having me on. Welcome, everyone.
You know, Mike, when we spoke a little bit about this case, as we were discussing it when we were off the air,
right?
You right away compared it to the Lufthansa heist. And many people that are listening, they may not be from New York. That was a heist that took place in Kennedy Airport. And I think it was the 70s, the early 70s, perhaps. And it was featured in the movie Goodfellas, mm-hmm. because all these wise guys, and it was an inside job, they stole $6 million. back in the 70s when $6 million is probably more than the equivalent of the $30 million taken in the LA heist. But as the movie went on, it showed how all the insiders, all the people that took place in this heist wind up dying. They wind up dying and not of natural causes, you know. And if you know the movie Goodfellas, it was a tremendous movie. Anyway, that's why I said earlier on, life imitates art, or does art imitate life? I think it's the other way around. I think art imitates life because, you know, as you always hear it in police work, truth is much stranger than fiction. Mike?
Yeah, every time there's a book out, a heist movie or a book or something like that, it's based on fiction, like the movie Heat. But you know what? It's always based on some real life stories because, you know, life always throws so many curves at you, and there's nothing that people, there's no limit to how, what people can think of, schemes they can come up with. So yeah, you know, it's always all these fiction stories on TV, Law and Order, all these things. They are all these stories are coming from real life things that happen to cops, that cases they've worked on, investigations they've done, things they've heard, things they've seen, things they've done. And so therefore, yeah, true life crime like this, it's always way more interesting than anything Hollywood can come up with, because Hollywood has to take some real life stories and then try to throw something in on top of it. Like we were talking about the movie Ocean's 11 with, George Clooney and people like that. They always have to have those, but that's all those things are based on some real life events. And that's always the best stuff, is the real life stuff.
You know, Mike, we also discussed off the air that these kind of crimes where no one gets hurt, but $30 million is stolen. Mm-hmm. I think the public roots for the criminals. I really do. I think they're like, hey, so what? Some price gouging insurance company has to pay out once in a while so that some inside guy helped these criminals. I mean, I don't hope they get away with it, but I can understand why people think like, wow, what a cool crime. No one got hurt and they got $30 million.
Yeah. People respect, you know, that sophistication, that level of sophistication needed to pull off something like that. Like you see in the movie, like, you know, Ocean's 11, that all of that planning, all of the characters, all of the rehearsal, all of the work, however long it takes to do, people actually respect that to some degree. These guys who did this, they're never going to hurt some old lady walking down the street at night. They're never going to, you know, break into your apartment and take your stereo or your laptop. No, these guys are really sophisticated. They're going to go after a jewelry store. They're going to go after a bank. They're going to go after a guard of service, things like that. And people respect that level of scheming. And, you know, with that respect goes a little bit of admiration in a way that, wow, you know what? I wish I could have thought of something like that. That's amazing. What would I do if I pretty much won the lottery like that? Wow, that is amazing. And I think people, you're right, people do, so long as no one gets hurt, no one dies, and it's really, really well done, well planned, well executed and sophisticated. Yeah, I think people kind of respect that and say, you know what? If they get away with it. It's a cool story.
You know, H. Cook, thank you, Mike, for that. What, it's not $30,000, it's $30 million. $30 million. And the Daily News wrote down that depending on the denominations, the money could weigh up to 7,500 pounds. So that's why we're talking about and sort of hypothesizing how many guys did they need. So let me just go over a little bit more of some of the things we know. And right here, this had to be where some of the thieves entered. They sawed a hole in the wall. And one of the first things that Mike and I said right away was, where was the human security? Where was the security guard or guards? Besides the fact that this building should be wall-to-wall alarm systems, wall-to-wall cameras, wall-to-wall motion detectors, where was the human element? And it was Easter Sunday. Did everyone get off that day for Easter? and no one was left to protect the $30 million sitting in the safe. Thieves in Los Angeles snuck into a money storage facility on Easter Sunday and absconded with as much as $30 million in cash, a brazen heist that continues to baffle investigators a week later. You think the investigator is going to figure this out a week later? Authorities have remained mostly mum on the theft, confirming that few details outside the fact that it occurred at a money storage facility in the suburban Sylmar neighborhood. Local news outlets citing sources have since identified the facility as GardaWorld, a Canadian-based global cash management and security company, which also operates its own fleet of armored vehicles. According to the Los Angeles Times, which broke news of the crime early this week, a burglary crew scaled the building on Roxford Street and then busted through the roof without setting off any alarms. Once inside, they gained access to the money storage area, which may have been a vault, police said. Still undetected, the thieves were able to then make off with a bunch of cash, the exact amount of which authorities are still working to determine. Very few people would have known how much money was stored at the facility. While police have not discussed specifics about the money itself, including the denominations of the bills, moving such a large sum would likely prove challenging. The weight of $1 million in $100 bills alone is about 22 pounds. The heft jumps to about 250 pounds when considering various denominations like 5s, 10s, and 20s, which means the overall weight of last weekend's haul could be as much as 7,500 pounds. But that did not deter the burglars. Police said the theft was so well planned, the operators of the business did not notice the money was missing until they opened the vault Monday morning. The only indication of any misdeed was a gaping hole in the side of the building with a pile of debris next to it, though it's unclear if that damage was a result of the robbery. Well, of course it is. So unbelievable, right? I mean, when people are saying, could this be an inside job? What do you think? Like, first of all, Mike, think of the planning necessary for this. And the most important part of the planning is planning not to get caught, right? Right. So talk about some of the things they would have to do and think of in order not to get caught.
Well, you just think about it. A, just to get on the roof. And the roof, as we were talking about, isn't a perfectly flat roof. It's got like a wall, like 3 feet high going around it. And so if you could just look closer, there is actually a little bit where it's hidden from view. So they were smart enough to go through the roof. Now, we talked about, you're going to have a rope ladder, you know, where it's going to be like the Army Rangers at Point de Hoc climbing up to spike the guns at Normandy. These guys have all the alacrity of paratroopers. And so the ability to do all this, they get up to the roof and now they got to figure out, okay, where now in the roof, where do I go down? Because they, you know, now they have schematics of the building. So they know the floors of the building and they know where the money's located. So they're going to go down and figure out, okay, where do I go there? So now that's two things you got to do. And so probably, I'm guessing you're going to have at least three, probably four people. You got to have maybe one driver or two trucks. So you got to see them. Maybe you're up to almost a half a dozen people overall doing this sort of thing. And so then you got to go down there. You got to know where all the alarms are. You have the schematics maybe of the alarm system. So now you're talking about like some engineering kind of blueprints. So you got all that. You got to get to the vault. Now, how do you break open the vault? Is this some sort of vault that like it looks like a huge circular thing with the hinge that you might, you know, it's three feet thick, you know, like you see in banks, like in movies, or what? What kind,
you know,
of vault?
Mike, I think that they went in and went out the same way. They went in from the roof and they went out the same way, which think of what would you need to lift that money up onto the roof and then to lower it onto the ground? I mean, this is well planned because, and you said as many as six people. I would say 8 to 10 at least.
Okay, okay.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. But
if they were going to take all that money, $30 million, that, again, according to the Daily News, which interviewed people from the U.S. Treasury, it could weigh as much as 7,500 pounds. So they go through, they get the money out of the safe and not through breaking it from above. So there had to be a weak portion of the safe
or something
at the top of the safe.
Right.
So, you know, it's the old story. Make your door really, really, really strong. But next to it is chalkboard, you know.
Right. Sheetrock and 2x4.
Sheetrock is right next to it. So just cut the sheetrock and don't even worry about the door, you know.
Right. It's crazy. So you got that and they got to get out. And then you got to figure as they're going in with the truck or going out with the truck, you know, how many cameras do they pass? Cameras at the gates of that actual building, maybe cameras into that sort of area of, I'm not sure if there's any other stores or parking lots nearby. You know, so there's, you know, you got to worry about all of those things. So far as we know right now, they've got all that covered and they did all that. But as you said, what about all the Ring doorbell cameras and things like that, traffic cameras in the neighborhood, maybe a quarter mile away?
Right, Mike. They had to have driven into that facility.
They had to.
Could they have spotted those vehicles
and get a license plate
or a license plate reader? Because they also, there's highways. Did they get off the highway to get there?
Right.
So all of these, the trucks or the vehicles they use, were they stolen? Were the license plates untraceable? Or were they stolen off another? Because all of these things they have to think of. How about they all have to be wearing gloves, head to toe, covered with masks, hats. They cannot leave any touch DNA on anything because that could identify them. Fingerprints. Right. Yeah, they're not worried about fingerprints. They got gloves on, but touch DNA is very powerful. And if they identify someone that, oh no, this person doesn't work here, this person should never have been in this building. And just think about the investigation. How about elimination prints off of every single person that works at that location? Now you also have to interview every employee. Who's the link? Who's the inside?
Who's the weak link, right?
Who's the weak link? Let's play a little bit of this video from NBC LA. And everyone is so enamored with this heist. It's incredible.
Smugglers sold tens of millions of dollars for a money storage facility in Sylmar.
Our Karma Dickerson joining us live now outside that facility with more details about what's being called one of the biggest heists in LA history. Karma.
It's pretty incredible when you consider that it happened in this building just over my shoulder. Now, to take a look at it, you wouldn't know that it was different than any other office park except for the large amount of armored vehicles outside, begging the question of just how many people knew what was inside and how to access it. And another twist, we're finding out that this actually didn't happen at night. Police believe that it happened in the middle of the day, Easter Sunday.
I find that incredible. They said it happened at 12:30 in the afternoon on Easter Sunday. Like, first of all, again, where are the human security guards? Did they all get up? Were they painting Easter eggs? Were they eating a chocolate-covered bunny? What were they doing? They had, this company had no one working on Easter Sunday? I find that incredible. Incredible. And I'm sure, of course, the company doesn't want to talk about it. They're probably ashamed of what happened.
When millions of dollars are stolen from the place where the money is supposed to be the safest.
It's just mind-blowing that you would never suspect it.
There are no shortage of questions, even from the people working at the company guarding the cash.
How? Why? You know? It's hard. I'm still trying to process it.
About 12:30 Sunday afternoon, someone tunneled their way into the Garda World cash storage facility in Sylmar, according to what was initially reported to LAPD. The FBI says they made their way out with millions of dollars. But the only external sign something is out of the ordinary, a section of the building boarded up.
They knew what they were doing. They knew when to go.
Garda World is a security company. People might recognize them best from their armored cars. According to their website, their services also include cash services and cash vault services. Scott Selby is an LA-based attorney and co-author of Flawless, the story of the largest diamond heist on record. He says cash businesses like laundromats, supermarkets, and cannabis dispensaries rely on cash services businesses for day-to-day operations.
You need a way to get that cash somewhere safe. You're not going to just want to walk down to the bank and deposit $30,000. So there's services that come and pick it up.
He says the Garda World Sylmar location may be ideal for both business and thieves.
So location is everything, both if you're running a cash management company and if you're a thief. And so this warehouse is in the San Fernando Valley, and it's about 4 minutes away from two different freeways.
FBI sources have told NBC News they're still trying to confirm the amount taken. But the LA Times reports it could be as much as $30 million. We disguised the voice of this employee who tells us he was shocked to learn the building potentially had that much money inside.
I mean, listen, I didn't know there was $30,000, whatever the amount is, in that building.
Selby says investigators will be trying to find out if the company had an unusually large amount of money on hand at the time of the burglary.
Because if that is unusual to have that much money, then the LAPD and the FBI will want to know who knew about that on the inside and then see if the thieves found out that way.
Selby also said he expects this money to be hard, if not impossible, to trace because unlike, for example, stealing from a bank where there's a potential of serial numbers being recorded, this is money that's coming in from many different sources. It's the same money that we would pay to the grocery store for buying orange juice or to a gas station clerk. All that money put together, taken to one place, it's unlikely that those serial numbers were ever recorded. Reporting live in Sylmar, Carmen Dickerson.
So, Lieutenant Peter Pranzo, I think, hit it on the head. He said, look, someone on the inside, here we go, Lieutenant Peter Pranzo, Harlem Raiders, former employee tipped off one person who then made contact with a mobster who set up the score. Lieutenant Pete, I agree with you. This is not some ragtag operation. These are professional criminals. And this took months and months of planning because if you want to get caught, do a shitty job, do no planning, and go in there with a bunch of yahoos. No, but you don't want to get caught. You want to make a score. And who told them on this day there's going to be $30 million in that safe? How many people knew that? How many people knew that? And not just that. When you have six people, eight people, 10 people, whoa, you got to have a weak link there. You get one person, only one person has to get caught. And then 10 people just got caught. Because the one person who gets caught is going to sing like a parakeet. And it happens time and time again. There's no such thing as the stand-up guy, especially when that stand-up guy who gets caught is being offered a deal. And instead of doing life in prison, he's being offered 10 years. What do you think he's going to do? He's going to start to sing. Mike.
Absolutely, Billy. Peter Pranzo is absolutely right. You know, this is something as you were reading what Lieutenant Pete wrote. I'm thinking of Lufthansa heist. That's the same thing. You just get one person who whispers in someone's ear that, oh, usually there's like $1 million overnight, you know, because, you know, we have to make deliveries and things, and there's always going to be a little swing time. But yeah, you have a long weekend, and oh, guess what? We're usually on these long weekends, like Memorial Day weekend, Easter weekends, you know, things like that around the East, you know, Christmas weekend, whatever it happens to be, you know, there's usually 4, 5, 6, 10, 20, whatever it happens to be. And so therefore, yeah, that's really important to know who knows when there's going to be that much. What's the daily amount there compared to, you know, like a weekend amount? That's huge. And that really narrows down the number of people who could possibly have that valuable information. And so you go from, you know, hundreds and hundreds of former employees or dozens of former employees to just a few, you know, really few people who may actually still be working there. And so that helps the police. And again, you just have to get one person, maybe one person who wasn't there. One person hears a rumor about somebody else being there. You know, that's all it takes. One little breach.
Well, Mike, our participant starts bragging about it in a moment of drunkenness in a local bar.
Right.
And you know, he may be on the radar screen of law enforcement already, and he starts talking, you know?
Right.
You know, some of the things, though, that's amazing about this, and let's give them credit. This was well planned.
Oh, yeah.
So far, they're not caught, but it's only a week later. And these are long-term investigations. Did the company err? Well, the security seems horrific. And I keep mentioning, where was the human being? Where was the human security guard that was monitoring all those cameras? Where was the human that was monitoring those alarms? Where was the human that should have been in the parking lot of the facility? That there should be a gate that has access control with an arm that lets cars in and lets them out. Where was that? That doesn't exist at a place that's supposed to have the highest level security because there's $30 million in the place. And right. None of this exists. I mean, I find that horrendous. I just cannot look. There was a money center in New York. I won't say the name, but I went into it because when I was the commanding officer of the 2-3 robber unit, Spanish Harlem, we had a couple of stick-ups involving this company, and they would drop off large sums of money that was used for hospitals and companies' payroll for their employees. They would cash the checks on site, and they were held up a bunch of times. And I started looking into this company with my detectives. And one of the things I found out is like all their employees, I shouldn't say all, but a lot of them were off-duty NYPD, off-duty corrections, off-duty any law enforcement that had a gun. And they would sometimes have off-duty law enforcement, two guys, take $1 million in their private vehicle and do cash drops. And yeah. I said to these guys, I go, are you out of your mind? I go, all that has to happen is one guy inside that facility has to make a call and say, yeah, these two guys got $1 million in the car. And that's how it's done. And, you know, and this company was getting stuck up all the time. And I was like, any law enforcement officer that works off duty for these guys is out of their mind.
Yeah, Billy, those are the weak links you're talking about. When somebody cuts a corner like that, and then, you know, the cop putting his life on the line to throw, you know, a bunch of canvas bags full of money in the trunk of their Toyota Tercel or their Kia and drive it somewhere. And a few people know about it. Once somebody knows something besides you, it's no longer a secret. And so therefore, you know, that's the weak link. And that's what's going to happen here. I was reading the history of some of the other big LA, you know, robberies. And one of them, there was a truck, a really large truck that got, $10 million taken from it and jewelry and things like that. And the driver was asleep, supposedly asleep in the truck. And his partner was in getting lunch for like 45 minutes. And they didn't even, and neither one of them knew that the truck was being opened up. And money being and jewelry being taken out. So you get all of these really amazing things. Like there may have been one person assigned to that location, but maybe they were in the men's room, or maybe they were on their lunch break at the local, Dunkin' Donuts, because there's not too many places open.
Oh, because cops love donuts everywhere. Yeah.
So, you know, that's all it takes is to have that one employee on a coffee break, you know? So.
You know, Mike, sometimes when I go to the supermarket, I see these armored cars pull up, and I try to just think like if I was a criminal, how I would take this truck down. And they're very lackadaisical.
Yeah.
It's very routine. They take the bag. Right. One of them has his gun out. But like, I just think like, wow. And the third guy is trained, no matter what, don't open the door. Yeah, protect that money. Don't worry about these two guys that are going to get killed.
Don't worry about your two friends.
Yeah, just don't ever open up that truck. So it's really like sort of a scary thing. And I mean, and these armored car employees that drive in the car and deliver the money, they pay them nothing. They pay them like minimum wage. And I'm just like, here's these guys. They could be a minute away from death because they got $1 million in this armored car and they're working for $15 an hour because they're trying to support their families. And it's It's unbelievable. And then you know what these companies care the most about, Mike? The insurance company that's going to take the hit for this and pay them for that $30 million that was stolen. That's what their biggest concern is right now. Not the lax security that they had that led to this, or the dishonest inside person that potentially could be involved in this. They're right on the phone with the insurance company, whoever it is. Mm-hmm. Hey, when are you getting in here? We, you know, we got to get reimbursed for this $30 million.
Right.
And I would think that most insurance companies are like, whoa, slow down, buddy. We're not paying you that quickly. We got to look into this.
Yeah, I remember in the 4-6 walking my foot post on Fordham Road, and you'd have like, you know, the security companies. And I remember at one point they were backing their, and I didn't really care. They were backing their armored cars onto the sidewalk and facing the street and having the back of their car, their truck, open up to the front doors of the store where they're making the pickup. I'd rather see that than have them, you know, walking with a couple of bags in their hands. And so this way, if anybody holds them up, they can't even get to their firearm because they've got their hands, you know, with the money in it. But these places like Garda, they might be huge, multi-billion-dollar, multinational corporations. But, you know, the bottom line is the bottom line. And if they can get away with, you know, paying people, you know, $9 an hour or $8 an hour, they'll do it. And if they can get by with a few less people per shift and a little bit less overhead to make some more money, they'll do it.
You know that.
It's the way it goes.
This the breaks. Okay, I just got some info for you on the alarm. Well, this the breaks. We heard some things about the alarm, and I don't know if this is true, but they were saying the Wi-Fi went down in that neighborhood. But God forbid if your alarm system depends on Wi-Fi, because that means every time your Wi-Fi goes down, the potentiality that your cameras, your motion detectors, and your alarm system goes down, that's pretty scary.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not I don't know that much about the electronics or the way alarms are set up these days. But if Wi-Fi is included in that, Wi-Fi goes down all the time, right?
Right.
Imagine. Oh, yes, we're depending on our Wi-Fi system to protect 30 million. And if the thieves are smart and know how to disable the Wi-Fi, then that's one layer of security that is kaputsky.
Right. Is there anything that's hardwired anymore? You know, you just wonder. Because look how many times we're on your phone and you go out someplace in your backyard and go down a basement and suddenly, you know, you lose your signal. Yeah. I mean, come on. If that's the way they do it, and it's all dependent on Wi-Fi, and there's nothing at all hardwired, my goodness, you know, that's, but again, saving money, cost cutting, you know, that's
absolutely.
One of the biggest heists in LA history, NBC4's Lauren Coronado live in Sylmar with more details on this. Lauren.
Jonathan, an employee says whoever is responsible managed to get through a layered security system here. And I want to show you where that theft is believed to have happened over the weekend outside of Garda World. That's what you're looking at right now. You might be able to see some of the armored security vehicles as well. Now, News Chopper 4 captured a shot of a damaged wall. No word on if the damage is related to Sunday's burglary. This is behind Garda World, which is a money storage and secure transit facility here in Sylmar.
You know, Mike, one of the things I said was this hole in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
If you see the trees and the brush, it's totally covering it from the road. You can't see it. Unless you're from above, because they have these trees and these bushes strategically placed so that you can't see the facility from the road or the wall. So these guys knew this.
Right.
And you know something, as I said to you when we were off the air too, just put a traffic vest on. They'll let you in the Pentagon.
Yeah.
You know? It's unbelievable. As long as you look the part, no one's going to question you. Oh, yes, I'm a worker. That gives you, being a worker gives you passes to go into places that no one could get into, right? Oh, yes, I'm fixing the shrubs, or I'm resurfacing the wall outside as I break into it with a chainsaw, you know?
Oh, so, yeah.
It's unbelievable. And this gave them cover from the street. And I'm sure they were dressed in a specific way to throw off any, you know, as they said, the guard for any pain in the ass, innocent bystanders, you know?
Right.
But they had to have been in this facility, I would say, anywhere from a half hour to an hour to get the amount of money out of there. So how did they know that they had that amount of time to go into this building and to do the dirty deed and get out of there? And no, they didn't discover this until Monday. They started this operation at 12:30 p.m. on Easter Sunday.
Right.
And the company didn't discover the money missing until Monday.
Right.
That's like in the movies and TV, they say this. And we wouldn't believe it, but this is true. This is this is art imitating real life. This is real life. This really happened.
Yeah, the scary thing is, if that timeline is accurate, like the police have put out, that it's like 12:35 in the afternoon on Easter Sunday, and they're done, say, by 1:15, say, and nobody finds out till like, say, 9 o'clock Monday morning. I mean, you know, I always think of shifts, you know, the first shift, the second shift, the third shift, you know, in the NYPD, there's nobody on a 4 to 12 shift working in that place. Yeah. I think they may have really maybe just had one person around. Maybe they went to the bathroom. Maybe they got coffee a mile away and they took 45 minutes. I don't know. Maybe had nobody. Maybe that they actually were so, you know, lax with their security that they just, somebody put on the alarm, walked out and went home for the weekend. Maybe they actually did not have a single person scheduled to be there. It could possibly be. It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Mike, you know, maybe they had some of these really smart guys that know how to circumvent alarms.
Yeah.
You know, and they must have done that.
Yeah.
This morning, the FBI tells our team they are working with the LAPD on a joint investigation into a reported burglary in the area Sunday. They're not sharing exactly how much money is believed to have been taken, but a source with the FBI confirms to NBC4 News it's millions of dollars, and the LAPD says it's one of the largest heists in LA history, suggesting it may be tens of millions. We heard from one Garda World employee who did not want to show his face on camera. He also asked we alter his voice in hopes he's not recognized. He shared insight into the layered security system the burglars managed to work around.
The place is pretty secure. Alarm system, they check to make sure that the alarm is set up. So, you know, just to think that they were able to go through the security system and get away with all that money, it's a shocker.
He says he didn't even know how much money was being stored on property, and like many others, is questioning, was it an inside job? That's certainly something the FBI is looking into as well. We've reached out to the FBI and the LAPD. We're working on gathering more information about the investigation, and we'll continue to keep you posted throughout the afternoon. Reporting.
So how do they know? How would an investigator prove that it was an inside job, Mike?
Yeah, you got it. Well, you know, by the level of sophistication, what they had to go through, all the layers of security going through the roof, knowing where the vault would be, knowing what the layout is of the schematics of the building, knowing ingress and egress, knowing the alarm system, you know, that takes, you know, you may need actually like engineering blueprints. Where do you get those? You get those from somebody who has access to that building, that has the ability to, go around that building, kind of like someone who you see there every single day, so that if there was ever anybody that was suspicious, well, you know, this is Mike from, he's IT. And what does he do? He's in charge of security here. So Mike goes around and you see him every day. Nobody suspects this person. They're just an employee. So yeah, as someone in the comments said, there's no way that, you know, this isn't an inside job. There's got to be at least one and probably two, perhaps, people who, maybe they just finished, stopped working there recently. Maybe they got fired, or maybe they're working there now and they're good employees, but maybe they feel like they're underpaid. And they have just thought about it and they're looking around and they're like, okay, on the weekends, this place is deserted. Nobody knows about it, but this place is deserted. And so perhaps you get that sort of, relationship between people and the company. It's all it takes is one person with an overactive imagination and a lot of technical skills. They can put together a little group and pull this off. But there's always going to be, that danger that someone is going to break under questioning by the FBI, that sort of thing. And then the whole thing just comes tumbling down. But, I got handed to them. This was sophisticated, stealthy, smart. And in some ways, you admire these people for what they were able to do without hurting anybody. Amazing.
Well, Mike, this type of investigation is going to cost a fortune. Because first of all, if they have any idea or any suspicion of some employees, they're going to have to surveil them. They're going to have to put them under surveillance and see what their habits are, see who they're dealing with, get search warrants on their cell phone, search warrants on their computer, see what they were searching, see if anyone pulled up schematics on this building's property, because surely these guys had to have a schematic to know that they could go through the roof and into that safe. The top of the safe may have been the weak point, because going through those thick 3-foot doors, that's not the way to go. The other thing is the talent level of the burglars involved in this is huge. It's huge. I don't know what kind of tools they used. Did they use pneumatic tools? Did they use torches? Did they cut through any? We saw they cut through the wall. What did they use to cut through that wall? All of those things. Could we possibly track a tool place that they may have rented these powerful tools from? All of these investigative sources. And then, the word on the street. I know you guys hear that. The word on the street is it's so-and-so just got out of such-and-such location. Right. Or, as Lieutenant Peter Pranzo said, this is organized crime. These are really organized, talented burglars. These are not your, fly-by-night idiots. This was well-planned. This was orchestrated. This was rehearsed. The inside people told them when that amount of money was going to be on location. They didn't want to go into this place and find out there was $10,000 in that safe, right? They wanted to go there. And also, was it an accident that they did this on Easter Sunday? You bet it wasn't.
Right.
Of course, they had no, it seems like they had no human employees working that day. There was no human security guard there. How could there have been?
Right.
Unless the guy was sleeping.
Right.
He had a bottle of Wilson's in his back pocket and he passed out,
Right.
How
convenient.
Yeah. So I don't think that, this is, in one way, it's admirable what these burglars did, that the talent level. But another way, the incompetence of the security. And you heard that guy saying, we have this layer, that layer. Obviously, the layers didn't work because someone in broad daylight stole $30 million from your company. I don't want to hear how sophisticated your security and your layers are.
Right.
One layer didn't work. Something happened to that layer.
Right. Forget about it. I remember, if you remember the story of the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center, the big break came when they were going through all the rubble, and that was a huge, huge bomb. It blew up down one or two levels in the parking garage. It was insane, insanely powerful explosion. But they found the license plate of the van, and it turned out to be a rental van. And then they figured out, they went to the rental van, the U-Haul place. It was in New Jersey, and they went to the people there, and they said, we rented that to a guy, like a week ago. And the guy came back actually report that the van was stolen or something like that.
Yeah. And he wanted to get his deposit back.
Like,
what a genius.
He blew up the World Trade Center and then he wants his $200 deposit back. And, that one little break. All you need is a license plate. That's all right. You need, you know?
You know, folks, I appreciate all your comments in the chat. So, Mary Ricketts, somebody is driving a new car and wearing a fancy watch. You know, Mary, that is one of the things that they're taught not to do. Do not spend any of this money for at least 6 months or a year.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to draw unnecessary attention to yourself. That was the in the scene in Goodfellas where Robert De Niro's character, Jimmy Burke, said, "Well, don't, what are you, the guy bought a brand new car, Cadillac. He was ready to kill the guy. In fact, he did kill him later on. Mm-hmm. Guy bought a fur coat for his wife. He said, "Well, I told you not to spend any money." So these guys should be coached well enough that they don't make these stupid mistakes, but they're criminals. So they're going to do what they want to do. When they feel the heat is off, oh, we got away with this, they're going to come out of the woodwork and they're going to want to spend that money. And the other thing is this money apparently is untraceable. It's right. Not consecutive serial numbers or anything like that, or the serial numbers logged in. So these guys, as far as having the money, you know, they may make an arrest on this one day, but they probably will never recover the proceeds from this.
No, this stuff is fungible. This isn't like a special piece of jewelry or piece of art that is unique and is going to be unique forever. These $20, these $50 bills, these $100 bills, these $5 bills, these single dollar bills, it's all fungible. It just goes into the stream and you can never get it back. You can never say, oh yeah, that particular bill. No. So it's going to be something else other than somebody spending a brand new dollar, like from a bank. If you robbed a bank and you got some cash and there's like, you know, $10,000 in $20 bills all wrapped up and they're all consecutive. Now this isn't going to be like that. This is going to be something else is going to get these guys. Not that this money can be put right into the stream, spent whatever they want to do, although they should not spend it, obviously. But once you do spend it, that's not the way that they're going to solve this crime. They're going to have to, this is going to be long. Like you said, this is going to be a long term, expensive FBI investigation. You know, these guys can be there. They can be smart as they want to be, but the FBI has patience. They're still investigating. I think the guy who jumped out of the airplane in 1974.
Cooper. What was his name?
D.B. Cooper.
They never found him yet. Exactly. Let me just give a quick commercial, Mike. Folks, this is Police Off the Cuff Real Crime Stories. If you like real crime, true crime from a police perspective, then you're in the right place. And if you're not subscribed to us, go on our YouTube, hit that subscribe button, give us a thumbs up, ring that bell. Like us, share us with your friends and your family. If you want to contribute to us financially, we have a Patreon with three different levels. We also have a YouTube channel membership with count them, five different levels. And the channel's really starting to grow because of you guys. Thank you so much. I thought this would be sort of a fun story to cover because it's so unusual in this day and age. And some of you guys even in the chat said, oh, pretty soon there won't be any cash anymore. And you know something, you're right. Right. Everything's going. I rarely carry cash. Well, now every once in a while I have to carry cash, but I pretty much everything's done with your card these days, right? And that could become money could become obsolete one day. You're right. And so then where are all the thieves? Where are all the criminals? They're online, right? They're online. It's true. I mean, at least once or twice a year, my credit card information gets stolen, right? And I know I'm not alone. I'm sure you guys out there are all shaking your head going, mine too. You know, it happens. But so let me play a little bit more of this. Here we go.
Following developing news involving a money mystery in the San Fernando Valley.
Authorities are trying to track down the thieves who stole tens of millions of dollars in cash from a business on Easter Sunday. KTLA 5's Corrine Winter live in Sylmar with more on how all this went down. Corrine.
Well, Glenn, we are in the back of that Garda building here in Sylmar. I know you've been seeing the shots from the air, but here's a better look at the location those thieves accessed. Now, it's unconfirmed, but this may have been the area those thieves actually walked through to get onto the property. It's a lot more remote here. It's actually right up next to a mobile home park. And take a look off into the distance. That's the hole that they entered through. A short time ago, we saw workers out here patching that spot. It's the stuff of movies, but this was no Hollywood production.
And they all got a piece of the score.
A multi-million dollar heist at this Garda facility in Sylmar, Easter Sunday, with burglars breaking through a hole in the wall of the building that stores cash.
It's just mind-blowing that you would never suspect it. $30 million in the valley, gone.
This Garda employee who wanted to remain anonymous said he had no idea there was so much cash inside this location. Our drone video gives a closer look at the entry point, but investigators still haven't revealed how the criminals got a hold of the cash. There are security alarms and motion sensors. One law enforcement official with LASD Major Crimes who isn't on the case told us money storage sites like this have multiple layers of security and other fortified systems. The LAPD and FBI are now investigating. While neither would comment to KTLA, this retired special agent in charge with the FBI LA field office told us what officials are focusing on behind the scenes.
They will try to determine who had access to the facility, who was aware of the schedule, that knew the money would be in the facility and how long it would be, the security around the facility and how much time they would have to be able to gain access and be able to move that large amount of money.
Robert Clark said this crime could be an inside job. Also, that a loss like this is rare. $30 million. It's one of the biggest heists in LA history.
It wasn't a whole lot taken, if anything, but we're going to figure it out.
Back in 2022, thieves stole about $100 million in jewelry and other valuables from a Brinks tractor trailer. That case, still unsolved.
The likelihood of catching who's behind this?
Well, I think the likelihood is very high because you don't move that kind of money very quickly. It's not like you're grabbing a couple checks and running out the door. Be able to move that kind of cash and then be able to liquidate that amount of cash will be very difficult, and you'll have to have a team of individuals that do it.
Robert Clark there commenting on this current case, but the LASD major crimes captain I also spoke with, given the nature of his work, well, he couldn't go on camera, but he said this may not necessarily be an inside job. He said you may have just had an organized crew here, criminals who did their homework and managed to pull off a crime. That's the latest here in Sylmar. Kareen Winter, KTLA 5 News.
I think that it is quite impossible for this not to have been an inside job. I don't know who said that. That's ridiculous. You can't get all the necessary information. How did it just so happen that the day they chose, Easter Sunday, how did it so happen that there was $30 million in the safe? That was, you think that was luck? That they just rolled the dice and said, let's go Easter Sunday.
Let's pick a day.
If there's no cash, there's bound to be chocolate Easter bunnies. So either way, we'll score, you know? I think that's ridiculous. I definitely think someone or many, multiple people inside. And when they talk about them getting caught, I think the more people you have in a, doing something like this, the more likely it is that you have a weak link there somewhere. Someone does something stupid. Someone opens their mouth. People can't keep their mouth shut.
They can't.
They got to brag to somebody. They got to brag to their baby mama. They got to brag to their girlfriend. And then they get in a dispute with the girlfriend, the baby mama. And what does the baby mama do?
She gives you up.
She starts talking to the popo. And then this whole brilliant scheme to hit this Garda facility for $30 million comes undone because you couldn't get along with your baby mama.
Hey, Bill, you know, I was just even thinking, you know, and I was also looking on the about cell phones. What would happen if one of those, say, 6, 8, 10 people, one of them, just one, brought their cell phone with them and it pinged off a tower?
You know? Like that. You're right. And but that, look, they must have attended burglary classes.
Oh, yeah.
Before this and said, what are you doing the day of the burglary with your cell phone? Where is it?
Right. It's
I don't
at home.
Bring it with me. I leave it at home. I don't bring myself, you know, just like the Dirty Dozen when they started reciting all the things they had to do.
Exactly.
Leave the cell phone at home.
Leave it at home.
Wear my gloves. Right. Put my hat on. Pull the mask over. Steal the license plates off cars in LA.
Right. Exactly.
Put them on the truck.
Exactly. You get what's one thing.
All of these things were so important.
A couple of different.
And, you know, like someone said, oh, maybe they came through the woods. Yeah, but at some point, they have 7,500 pounds or 7,500 pounds of money. You can't run into the woods with that.
No.
Some way you have to have a cart or something to bring it or roll it to the car or to the truck you're using. You can't throw it on your back. You know, I don't think there's like they cooperated and they had canvas money bags in there that you could just throw all the money in. And, you know, they want to make sure they get everything. They didn't want to leave anything behind, you know?
That's right. That's right. So as sophisticated as it is, the more sophisticated it is, the more people you have to have involved, the more equipment you have to have, like you say, tool rentals, maybe van rental, that sort of thing. Yeah, I am sure every single rental place, van rent, you know, rider, all these people, they're going to be books are going to be gone over in depth by the FBI just to see who's renting what. And so that just leaves you open. So, yeah, they I would like to see them caught, but I would just I'm just admiring their moxie right now because, you know, these are the if you want to, if you're a cop, law enforcement, these are the kind of people you want to go up against because these guys are sophisticated and it gives you a little bit more sense of accomplishment when you get them because you're matching wits with guys that are pretty darn smart and they're not just beating people up on the street and then taking their wallet. So, you know, I admire them. I really do.
From the chat, Pierre, forklift, hand cart, ATV.
Yes.
The possibilities are endless. Right. But all of those things. Mm-hmm. If they did use it, they have to take it with them. They can't leave it behind. So any of those things that they had, whether it was a forklift, a hand cart, an ATV, it had to go on the truck with them because that's evidence if they left that behind. And that's traceable. So all of these things like you're suggesting, yeah, maybe yeah. That's how they did it. But all of that stuff has to go with them. Jane C. from the chat. It will take forever to hide the dolls at a secure place without others noticing. Right. And yeah. Jane C., that's the other thing. Is there honor among thieves? Will thieves steal from each other? You bet they will. And that's another way. That's why in the Lufthansa heist, It's the way the movie Goodfellas portrayed it, people started getting whacked, right? Because right. The guy who led the whole burglary team was like, you know something? Why should I give this guy a share? Let me just kill him. You know, that's the way criminals think. So You're right. That's the weak links of all of these things is the people that you have involved. Sharon Reynolds, U-Haul. But then a U-Haul has to be rented or stolen. So if you steal it, it's less likely. If you rent it, it's traceable. Hey, it's Jay. A white-collar convict or bank robber in federal prison could have taught someone while locked up. Have been looking for recent parolees, etc.
Right.
Yes, I think the FBI and the local police, they know who the players are at this level, who the real talented burglars are, not the guys that are going to kick your door in and burglarize your house while you're at work. They know who the guys who know how to circumvent the alarms, the guys who know how to break into safes or crack safes. I guess that's an old art. Phoebe, Professor Gary, that is what Hubby said, admiring their moxie.
Ooh, yeah.
I like that word, moxie, right? Beautiful, messy ball. Jane C., not if it was planned in advance as they knew where they were taking it. Didn't take them long to get it out. They could stash it as quickly as they took it if they planned to. Yeah, I mean, I still think with the amount of money, if they got all the $30 million, as we spoke about earlier, $30 million weighs 7,500 pounds, give or take a couple of hundred pounds, depending on the denominations of the currency. So not easy to get it the hell out of there, is it? Not easy to get it out of there quickly. Not easy to move it, right? Pierre, wicked old art, safe cracking. Yeah, I don't even know if I'm using a term from probably another era. I don't even know if that's possible anymore. Let me play a little bit of CNN's take on this.
Facility. What's that? Cash from businesses across the region, well, they're held there. Sources telling CNN the burglars broke through the roof, bypassed the alarms, entered the vault by cutting through the ceiling, and then exited the building by breaking through a rear wall. It's one of the largest cash heists in the city's history. I know, you've probably got 30 million questions. So do I. So for starters, you ever see what $30 million in cash looks like in person? Me either. But here's a taste. This is $30 million stacked in $100 bills. Now, we don't know the denominations of the stolen cash, but in $100 bills, that would be about 661 pounds. If it were in $50 bills, more than 1,300 pounds. $20 bills, 3,300 pounds. And in case the burglars really ran into a challenge, $1 bills would have been 66,000 pounds. So about all those questions, who better to help than the person who first broke this story, along with a former bank robber? Well, joining me now, Richard Winton, a reporter for the Los Angeles Times, and Joe Loya, who robbed more than 30 banks in the late 80s and served prison time for doing so. He's the co-host of the podcast, The Score, Bank Robber Diaries, author of The Man Who Outgrew His Prison Cell. Gentlemen, thank you for both joining me this evening. Everyone is talking about this story and trying to figure out how, why, and of course, who. Richard, what are your sources telling you about how this heist was even carried out?
It was carried out very quietly on a holiday, which is not unusual when it comes to big heists. They choose the place and time when there's the least opposition, and this was clearly designed to be stealthy. They weren't, unlike that movie, there wasn't going to be any guards. They just had to evade all the security systems, make an access. And yes, they had to remove an amount of cash, which certainly is like a small elephant.
I mean, Joe, you're the one with the experience here, to say the least. I'm wondering from your perspective, when I describe what is entailed seemingly, how much planning would go into something like this?
Well, the crime is dictated by the inside of the place. So if the place says you have to be here to avoid these, to avoid these cameras, and then maybe you have to push this code here and wait for this to happen, how you have to maneuver through there is your plan. And I believe it's an inside plan. So I believe that everybody who was involved in robbing it already understood that, they understood what they had to do, where they had to be, what cameras to avoid. So I don't think that's the challenging part, planning the actual robbery. It's all the other things that go into it. It's the disguises, it's the weapons, it's the getaway stuff. And I believe that there's been another robbery there that in 1997, where some guys robbed another money storage facility. Mm. And they are very, very clever the way they did it, the way they got away with it, the way they waited. But they were also dumb. And that's the thing about bank robbers. We are very brazen, impulsive. And we could do things that, like I robbed 30 banks. It was a very successful, like short, brief bank robbery career. But I was impulsive and I was dumb and I just pushed too far. And I feel like that's what's going to happen here. These people are going to get caught because even though they're very sophisticated here, they're going to fall. They're going to stumble and eventually they'll get caught. And we'll find out exactly what kind of inside job it was.
Well, Richard, let me have you weigh in here because everyone's wondering about the FBI investigation. What do you know?
Well, what we know at this stage is the FBI is asking people in the immediate area for video of this personal, security systems. Like there's a mobile home park, there's a church, there's a number of other businesses. They've been going around trying to collect every piece of video from that period of time to see if there's anything on it. In addition, there's also reports of a grinding sound, which suggests that there was and there's a time they're talking about when they think it occurred. And they've been asking residents about that. So we think that they're trying to pinpoint a time. Mm. And that may mean they're also looking to see whether there were cell phones used in the area. They do a lot of geofencing and other techniques to try and work out who is actually in an area, who maybe has watched this area in the past.
You know, Mike, that's pretty interesting because they could have been using, booster phones or, phones that you throw out after one use. But with geofencing, that would still show that they were communicating in some way. And I don't know if they can pick up what they were communicating. I don't think they would be stupid enough to send text messages unless they were in sort of code. But I used to call them booster. They call them burner phones. Because burner phones are used for one purpose. And then if you're a smart criminal, which that's actually an oxymoron, because there aren't really any smart criminals that I've ever met. Just the fact that you're involved in crime indicates that you're not too smart. But burner phones, could they have used burner phones? Yeah, and geofencing, in case some of you guys don't know, they have a technique where they can pull up every electronic device being used in a geographical area, utilizing GPS and all kinds of other electronic tools that the FBI has access to, and pinpoint how many and who was using these electronic devices. Very sophisticated, amazing investigative tool. Carol Grayston, thank you so much for the 5-pound super sticker. This has been a super episode. P.S. I think the robber is that Tom Cruise. He's had enough practice. Yeah. You guys want to, they always make the robbers in TV and movies good looking people, right? I doubt that the robber or the burglars. The bank robber was using the incorrect terminology. What these guys did is called a burglary. They didn't forcibly remove property. They stole it. They knowingly and unlawfully entered and remained in a building with intent to commit a crime. And that's what they did. They didn't stick a gun in anyone's face, or there was no one that they had to forcibly remove the property. They just removed it with no resistance because there were so many layers of security, you know. There's so many human security guards there to stop them. I find this just, it's so interesting because the human errors that are made. And when people would swear, oh, we have it covered, we have it secured. Guess what? They didn't.
Billy, all it takes is one person on the inside, a disgruntled driver, who knows a little bit about the security layout, who just does a little bit more than driving, somebody in their human resources, somebody, a disgruntled assistant manager who may be in charge of scheduling people and may have said, you know, we're not going to put anybody here on the weekend, you know, little things like that. You could have the most sophisticated, amazing, you know, security in the world, layers and layers of it. But if you have someone on the inside, with maybe they walk around with a uniform because it's actually their uniform, or they're hiding in plain sight, like you said, with a vest on, you know, a vest, a tool belt around their head, around their waist, and a hat on with that's either orange or green, and they just walk around. You can get in anywhere, and people aren't even going to pay attention to you. It's all it takes is just one person, and who's got a will to get something done, and has the nerve to do it, and this and a little bit of gray matter in between the ears, and you can pull off these sorts of heists. And so, Garda, yeah, you know, right now looking at it, it looks like they should be ashamed of themselves for their laxity in this situation.
And I wonder if they're doing site surveys all over the world because they're a national, international company. Yeah. That's site right. Surveys of all their sites to see if they're vulnerable in any other places like they were vulnerable here. Phoebe, wait, how did they get on the roof? I don't know for sure, but there are things called rope ladders that has a hook on the end. They throw it over the top and they actually climb up a rope. That's one thought. There's other ways they could do that, but that makes the most sense. If you look at this building, it has the kind of lip, I think, that a hook could catch the top here, and you could put the hook, and then you could just climb up the side of the building utilizing a rope ladder. And I'm not sure that's how they did it, but that's one way they could have accomplished that. I'm trying to read some of the Dane Crawford. If you guys ever get a chance, there's a movie about $1 million hauling off an armored truck and a broke guy finds it. True story. I won't give spoilers and great movie. Hey, you sort of wish that guy the best of luck, right? Pierre, you don't necessarily have to rent these tools. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But
that's amazing. But these are the two stories.
Trying to beautiful messy ball with something this big. They paid cash for everything or stole everything. Yes, that's a good chance. Mm-hmm. Look, as we spoke about before, someone will screw up, and this is a long-term investigation. They're not going to make an arrest next week. They're not going to make an arrest in 2 months, 3 months. This could take years,
right?
Because you know it's a sophisticated. Although I think it's brilliant collecting the video because somehow some type of vehicle had to enter that property or the vicinity of that property and someone could have spotted it with their camera. And that's you know, brilliant that the FBI is going around and trying to collect to collect video. Jeff M. from the chat. Even if it's a year from now or 2 years, somebody's going to make a large purchase that's going to throw up a red flag that's going to unravel it. I think someone talks before then. You know, I think that if you're one of six, one of eight, one of 10 people, and look, if you're one of 10 people, is everyone going to get the same split? Are they going to give 3 million? Say there's 10 people, they're going to give 3 million or is the leader going to get more? I would think the leader is going to get more and they're going to dole it out, you know, in increments according to how important you were in this heist. So that could be a source of jealousy also, you know, and it happens all the time. It's human nature. Let's see. Well, dang. Hey, it's Jay. Ronnie, I don't know who you're talking to. Oh, hey, it's Jay. Hey, it's Jay. I just Googled and found that walkie-talkies are traceable when turned on. Wow.
Okay.
I wouldn't necessarily have known that either.
I didn't know that.
There's so many investigative tools that the FBI has. Jeff M., upper management of that building could have got stuck up at their house at gunpoint and forced to participate. That's a bit of a stretch. This is I think an organized crime operation, and whether it's Italian organized crime, some other ethnic group organized crime, you know, there's some people that are known for their, we used to have a group in New York City called Yaks, Yugoslavians, Armenians, Croatians, and Serbs. And they were some of the best burglars in the world. Maybe they're in California. I don't know. But doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, an Italian organized crime. It could be any group of organized crime. GPS is on vehicles, not yelling. Yes, you're right. You're 100% right. Well, you know, folks, we covered this, I think. Larry Jensen, Bill Mike in the 90s, employees of an armored truck company stole a truck full of money at Circus in Las Vegas, never caught them until the female turns herself in about 20 years later.
Okay.
She must have felt guilt. Mike, that's about our show for this evening. Your final thoughts?
For everybody to be patient. As you said, this is going to take a long time. The FBI has, you know, they have a huge budget and they could wait people out. And you know, as you say, jealousies, little things like that. If I'm the driver of the getaway car and I'm getting $1 million and somebody else is getting $2 million and I'm not going to get my money for like a year or two, you know, I'm like, no, this isn't going to work out for me. I'm not going to sit around and wait. You know, there all these little things are going to happen sooner or later. And there's going to be someone's going to whisper in the FBI agent's ear because they're in the interrogation room and they don't want to go to prison. Maybe, if it's that sort of very scary organized crime group, they may say, look, I'll give you evidence, but, you know, you give me a new name and relocate me like in the movie Goodfellas, you know, that sort of thing. Give me that protection. Sooner or later, something's going to break down and the wheels are going to fall off the cart. So just have patience and, you know, just we'll keep you apprised if anything breaks in this case. So just be patient.
Absolutely. Julia Ann, I think this is the best comment from the chat all night. Burglars, you kicked ass, guys. No injury, heist well done. What you going to do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you going to do when they come for you? Well, folks, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We thought we just sort of wanted to do this. We thought it was a fun, sort of fun topic to cover. And it's interesting, at the very least. So, folks, thank you for tuning in. Have a great night. God bless from Police Off the Cuff. We'll see you soon.
Good night.
One episode, just ain't enough.